Ah, tax time. It can kind of fill you with dread and joy all at the same time. It can feel frustrating when you spend your hard-earned money and a portion leaves your pocket and goes to the government. For many, you might be in the middle of claiming that little bit back during the pandemic. That cash could be very well needed. But as Australia recovers post-pandemic in raising revenue, are new tax options needed, especially as we see the economy changing? Let's talk a little bit more about this with your regular guest and futurist, Steve Sammartino. Hey, Steve.
Good morning, Kaya.
Oh, taxes. What a sexy topic that we're kicking off with on a Monday morning.
I mean, can you listen to paint dry? Here I am, the future guy. Hey, let's talk about tax. Who wants to really get into that?
Well, here's the thing. They do say death and taxes are the two things that you can always guarantee will happen. And taxes aren't going anywhere. It's a funding model that is going to stay.
Well, I mean, I try and tell my children, listen, taxes are important because you know how we've got pretty safe roads in Australia and you guys get to go to school and if we get sick, we've got a hospital. It's easier to forget that taxes give us the civilization that we take for granted.
Yeah.
The ABC.
It is necessary. And while we can get frustrated and there might be inequities, like it is how, as you were saying, a lot of things are funded. But are we seeing that start to change?
Yeah, it is. I mean, the thing that we need to think of, there's two parts that are the reason I thought this might be interesting, is that the Australian Treasury is forecast to have a $291 billion economic impact due to COVID just in Australia and will be in the deficit really for the foreseeable future. Some estimates even go as far as 2040. That's how much money has gone in. And so what we need is really a new tax regime, because some of the things that traditionally we've extracted a lot of tax from, the sin taxes and also things that are bad for the environment, they're in decline.
And what would that mean, especially if we are sitting in deficit?
Yeah, so look, if we're in deficit, the real danger is that we will get higher tax rates, because we've had corporate tax rates that have been in decline for a really long time. I mean, the highest corporate tax rates going back to the 70s were, you know, much higher, up to 70, 80%. In America, it was 90%. And now corporate tax rates are down to around, you know, 20, 28% in Australia. And the problem is that we have to find a new way to get tax, and we don't want it to be on us.
Mm.
I mean, the traditional way has been these excises, and excise is a tax that we've got from consumption. So alcohol, tobacco, and fuel were the three really big ones. Problem is, all three of them are in pretty big decline.
Have we had a really big tax overhaul recently? Because that's kind of what it feels like. This is going to have to be a pretty big change as our economy changes as well.
Yeah, that's right. The last big tax overhaul we had was the GST,
yeah,
which is a consumption tax. And that was a kind of a bad one in a way, because it's regressive in nature. So what that means is that the people who can afford it least actually have to pay more. So if you spend all of your income on groceries and electricity and all of these things, then you're paying a larger percentage of your income on tax, whereas wealthy people, they only spend what they consume on tax, and all of they get a lower tax rate. Mm-hmm. So that's the last big regime change that we've had. But before that, tax was very much targeted on the industrial economy. And so just we used to call it pulling the profit at the pipes.
Mm.
So the pipes of commerce. And so the pipes of commerce were things like petrol. So the petrol excise was one. Tobacco was a big one. And alcohol.
Mm.
So where these big profitable companies came from, and especially oil, was a big one. Because you know, before the digital revolution, 9 out of 10 companies, the biggest companies in the world, were petrol companies. And now, 8 out of 10 of the biggest companies in the world are digital companies, but they don't have any excess or excise put upon them.
We have seen in those three areas, petrol, tobacco and alcohol, taxes change in recent years, rise, fall, maybe be on different things. How much change can still happen before it doesn't matter anymore? We're just not selling enough of that stuff to make the tax money that we need.
Yeah, I mean, let's just go through them really quickly. So I think that by 2026, the majority of cars being sold will be electric. And so that's going to leave a $10 billion hole for the Australian government. I mean, it's an extraordinary amount of money, because you know, electric cars they won't be using any petrol. So the way that we'd need to change that would need to be a per kilometre charge that goes into each car. So that one's in decline. Alcohol has had the consumption per person has declined 20% in the past decade, even though last year was a little bit up, and I think that was due to COVID. That's what all of the reports say, that alcohol had this little bump.
A little boost.
Everyone at home having a glass of wine. The fastest growing category has been no alcohol beer. My dad loves it, and we predict that that'll be 20% of all beer sales by 2025, and it's doubled in volume in the last few years. So,
and it would miss out on the alcohol tax, right? It would fall
because there's no alcohol in it. Well, if you notice, you can buy it in petrol stations and stuff, and you could be driving down the road drinking a no alcohol beer, which kind of seems weird. So that one's going away. And tobacco, Australian government has done an incredible job, which has been lauded the world over, where tobacco excise, they were $2.4 billion down on what they expected, because the plain packaging has had such a good impact on reducing smoking rates. And so it seems as though that's in terminal decline. So they're all going away.
Mm. So what do we look at? Where do we tax from then? What is the emerging?
This is the good news.
Yeah, the emerging market and economy that we want to start charging for.
Yeah. So this is where I come with good news on tax, Kai.
Good news on tax, Steve.
Good
Sabatino.
News. Guess what?
What?
It's not going to come out of our pockets, and this is what I'm proposing.
Okay.
Is that I think that we should tax data. And we should tax data because data is the new oil. We've heard that phrase, data is the new oil, right? And it goes through the pipes, through our broadband cables and flies through the sky, and we should tax it appropriately. So companies like Google, Facebook, Amazon, all of these digital firms are, in a way, doing the same thing that mining companies and oil companies did. They extract a resource, a sovereign resource, and then they refine that resource, and then they turn that resource into profit. Well, that's exactly what digital firms do. That's exactly what technology firms do. They extract data from us, all of our life experience and the things that we do. They refine that data with algorithms and computation and put it on the screen, and then they churn it into profit.
Mm.
And we've spoken before, these top six technology companies are worth $8 trillion, 25% of the global economy. And just like we used to tax Exxon and Mobil and all these companies and Royal Dutch Shell when they sold petrol here, we should do the same thing with their data.
Yeah.
We should tax them for how much data they extract, how much data they store, and tax them per computation.
How measurable?
And it's not that hard to do.
How measurable is it? Like, do we actually know how much data they're using from us?
Yeah, this is the crazy thing. We know. It's really easy. So the URL or the app or the website that they're on, whenever anyone extracts or goes between that, through our sources that we have in our telecommunications, we can see exactly how much data is going to each of these big companies back and forth. It's highly measurable because our communication system is based on this.
Mm.
So we can do it, and we can get those numbers really easily.
When changes were proposed to Facebook, they didn't take it very well just when it came to news, and they removed themselves from the Australian market for just a wee little bit. Do you think they're going to be open to this, Steve?
They're not going to be open to it, and they'll probably have a little spat, and they might even shut down for a couple of days. And you know what? I say let them, because they came back.
Yeah.
Facebook did just a little micro protest, and then they came back. And here's the thing. If they do shut down and say, we're going to leave the country, which big companies never do. I've worked in enough big companies. They take all the profit that's there, even if it's 50% lower than it was. Right? I think it could start a new regime around the world. And I think they'll protest. But at the end of the day, a government is sovereign, and they'll take the profit that's there. And if they do go away, we can just launch our own companies to compete with them and integrate. I don't think it's that hard to do. I think they'll protest against it.
Mm.
But, tobacco companies protested, oil companies protested. This is we're a sovereign nation. And if it's better for our community and we can use it to fund things like schools and hospitals, I don't see why we shouldn't do it.
Are there complications with this when it's an Australian tax system taxing an international company?
No, there aren't, because the thing that is difficult with international taxation is when they do things like profit shifting. So one of their tricks is, and it's crazy, they rent their brands or rent their algorithms or their intellectual property from themselves in another market. So they go to a low-cost tax haven and say, oh, no, well, we've rented our algorithm or our brand from Apple that is based in Holland, where the tax rates are 9% or 11%. And that's why they don't have any profit here, because they say, no, we didn't make any money because we have to rent that off ourselves. When you have taxes that are within your geographic boundary, that sit on top and aren't part of the tax code, international tax code, that's when you can do it. So if you put a new law in that says we have a data tax here, which is based on how much data you use in the country, because it's sovereign, they can't shift it.
Mm.
And so that's why taxing at the pipes has always been one, and excise has always been a very successful way to tax because it becomes unavoidable.
Have a couple of thoughts coming through. Someone questions, will we see a sugar tax maybe taking over from some of those traditional alcohol or tobacco?
Yeah, I think so. I think sugar is right in the headlights of people proposing it. And that's happened in New York, so they had sugar tax. I don't know if anyone listening has been to America and seen how big the cups are there when you go to a fast food.
No, that's the small. That was the small, Steve.
Yeah, that was. I got the small one, so I'm like, I asked for a small. They said, this is the small. I couldn't believe it. But, yeah, I think sugar, I think anything that is bad for our health, that's going to be in the target. And the government are very savvy when it comes to, they're great at innovating when it comes to finding new ways to taxes. So hopefully they'll take on board this one because it won't hurt Australian consumers and it won't hurt Australian companies. So I think it's a really smart way for us to go forward.
Kate's also raised, you know, it's a whole other conversation in the tax debate around negative gearing and interest and tax on investments and that sort of stuff. Does this sit in that space as well, Steve?
Yeah, look, I think it does, and the negative gearing one keeps coming up again and again. A lot of people might know that actually got outlawed, negative gearing, in the 80s, and rents went through the roof because investors just put up the rents to offset that. I think the government is also nervous about it because our economy is so geared towards building and there's so many flow-on effects. So I think that they're always nervous about it. Look, I'm not sure that negative gearing is good for society. And I think that it probably does put house prices up and create this almost like house pricing Ponzi scheme where we've outpriced the youth of today for getting the Australian dream. So that's a tough one, but the government tends to be nervous about moving on it.
Are these conversations happening around tax, or it'll happen slowly over the next few years, you think?
Look, I don't think they are, and this is what these conversations are all about, Claire. It's about raising the profile of issues. I wrote about this in the Eureka report, which goes out to investors in corporate Australia, and it got a lot of positive feedback. And I think that what we need to do is raise possibility and conversation on what the opportunities are. I think that our government is not as adept in where the economy is going technologically because historically we've been such a traditional mining-based industrial economy. It's time for us to step up, and if we're going to step up in innovation, I think we need to innovate with tax too, and it starts with conversations like this one.
And what better time than when that tax money is starting to hit our accounts to get us passionate about the tax topic, Steve. Great to chat.
Oh, there you go.
As always, thank you.
Absolute pleasure, Kaya.
Futurist and your regular guest, Steve Sammartino, there talking through what we might see when it comes to the future of tax.